talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. We're talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. Boxing. Just absolutely boxing.
All right, welcome back to the Just Absolutely Boxing Podcast. We are back with episode 21. My name is Ant. I'm with my partner Pete.
What's up, everybody?
And we are 2 days away from the biggest fight of the year, probably, to me. I mean, to hardcore fans.
Yeah, in our opinion.
Yeah, Vasyl Lomachenko versus Guillermo Rigondeaux, or as HBO be saying, Rigondeaux.
Rigondeaux.
What is it, man? What is it?
I've heard it pronounced all kinds of ways, Ant, so I just go with the Rigo.
Yeah, we're going to go with Rigo, man. But, yeah, this is the biggest fight of the year to me, you know, to cap the year off. But before we do that, what you been up to, P?
Nothing much, Ant. Like I say, looking forward to getting back in the lab. We've been off for like maybe a week or so. So,
yeah, same.
It's starting to be, you know, a habit, something I'm looking forward to doing. So, last week we were off, and so I'm just ready to get back into it, man. And then on top of that, we got some stuff popping off. So,
oh, yeah. It's like a fix. You know, you need that fix now that you're doing it more and more.
It's like the day when you said, man, we got to do it today, and I felt the same way. You know, there's something major coming up this weekend. We need to talk before it goes down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had a couple bumps in the road, you know, that kind of slowed things down. But I said, it ain't going to stop us, you know.
Right.
You know, that's going to happen.
Right.
But
another
plus was getting back into working out more. You know, working out kind of keeps me motivated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I posted on Instagram, you know, I was breaking in the new gloves, the ringside gloves, you know. I wouldn't advertise me with, you know, if they want to sponsor, you know, they cool with the ringside,
you
know, hey, ringside. But before we talk about Loma Rigo, last Saturday was Miguel Cotto's last fight, his farewell fight against Saddam Ali. And unfortunately, you know, he fell short. It was a close decision. I just have to say that it wasn't really a bad performance by Cotto in a way. I'm kind of glad that he, you know, I wanted to see him go out the win, but it was the type of loss that I feel like, and you told me that he should be able to live with, you know, because it wasn't devastating.
No,
it was more like a wake up call to say, hey, you don't have it.
It's time.
Yeah, you don't have it anymore. It's time because his performance, you saw old shades of him, which is what I think a lot of people do when they have farewell fights. They try to give their fans a little something, but there's going to be the moments where, you know, something.
Yeah, because Father Time, nobody can beat Father Time, man.
Right.
So,
right.
It's just, I mean, Cotto was what, 37?
Yeah.
Like I told you, man, well, like I tell a lot of people, everybody can't be a Floyd Mayweather or Bernard Hopkins.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't stick around.
Right.
To those later years. I mean, Cotto's been in a lot of wars, man.
Yeah.
He's had a hell of a career packed with exciting fights.
And, yeah.
Wars, so
because he's won world titles in like 4 weight classes, and like you said, he's been in all these wars. He's faced some devastating losses in his prime, but he was always able to come back. And I just feel like I won't call him a shot fighter, but he is shot worn a little bit, you know.
I mean,
he has,
and think about it, Ant. We can't forget the Margarito fight where, I mean, this dude could have lost his life, Ant.
Yeah, I think that took a lot out of him. Man.
He took a hell of a beating. He was game the whole fight. He was in the whole fight. But it just, eventually, he just had to fold. But once we realized what he had endured, I mean, his stock went up, man.
Yeah.
His stock went up.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that being said, like you said, because we don't know what punch causes damage. So, but we know that he was in a fight with a guy who already hit hard and then had plaster of Paris in his glove. So,
yeah.
I mean, just the thought of that dude is unsettling.
Yeah. And when you go back and look at that fight, the Margarito fight, if you look at all the work Cotto was doing it was kind of like Margarito kind of knew it. There was a certain point when it was going to kick in to do what he had to do. Mm-hmm. And then when Cotto started taking the big shots, it was like a reaction of Cotto. You know, it wasn't necessarily like he was wobbled or looking chinny. It was just like, I ain't never been hit with something like that.
It was before. Something different, man. We've seen Cotto in many wars, but that fight, it was something different going on.
Yeah.
You know, but I still commend him. I mean, the dude went out on his shield, man. Went out on his shield. So, he's a hell of a warrior, hell of a heart. And he's a great champion, man.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely one of the top fighters in, what, the past 15 years here. Yeah. I said before, he's one of my favorite fighters to watch. Every time you watch him, you know he's going to put on a good show. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I'm just glad that he didn't choose too big of a fight, but just a solid contender to give him that test to say, do I have it or not? You know, it wasn't too much of like a D-level fighter. It was still, you know, Saddam Ali.
Yeah, I was about to say,
only has one loss. You know, this was his first fight at 154. Right. So you got to give him credit.
Props to Saddam Ali, because I thought he was going to lose.
Yeah.
He moved up two weight classes from 147 to 154. Yep. And was able to, you know, take on a guy like Cotto. I mean, you got kudos to him too. Kudos. I'm a fan now.
Oh yeah, yeah. But yeah, man, I just have to say congratulations to Miguel Cotto for, you know, a great career.
Definitely,
you know, and definitely a Hall of Famer.
Thank you for the exciting fights over the years.
Oh yeah. But going on to our main topic, Vasyl Lomachenko versus Guillermo Rigondeaux. Last week, we talked about the age factor and the size factor, which we'll probably touch on again because, you know, we're just breaking them down and sizing them up. But I just looked on Instagram, and this was like the first time that I seen them together, which is crazy because this fight is sold out, but they haven't really been doing too much promotion for it.
Right.
You know, they haven't really been doing any pressers, nobody really talking. I mean, for one, you know, like you said, Rigondeaux, he doesn't speak English. So it's not really it didn't seem like there's a real urgency from him to sit down and voices say amongst, you know, America, you know what I mean? Because the fight is here. So there hasn't really been that moment. But seeing the two of them in that picture now, looking at the size, to me, I didn't really see much of a size difference. Did you?
No, especially seeing Reagan down. He looked good. It wasn't flabby. He looked good. But he looked good putting extra weight on. You know, it didn't look like he overdid it or, you know, tried to put too much muscle on. It looked well attained the weight or whatever. So, but another thing too, Ant, like we say, the promotion for this fight is sold out really quick. But the promotion, this is going to be a high level boxing match. This is not going to be going in there looking for a knockout. If you're going in there looking for a slug, this is not going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for fans of high level boxing. That's why I think the promotion may not have been, because it's not a lot of trash talking. It's not a lot of hoopla. Mm-hmm. These are two tacticians.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's going to be boxing on a high level, which can be boring to some people.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a casual fan, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because in the past, I've heard people say, like, when there's two fighters that ain't really vocal, you know, they're not really saying much, people don't really like to watch pressers. So, in this one, a presser, when you think about it, it wasn't really something necessary, you know, because, like, both of these guys, they just...
Skills, you know...
Their skills talk for them.
Going to speak for them, exactly.
You know, it speak for them, so whenever they called the fight and they made it, you know, it was just like, let's get to it.
Let's get to it.
I don't really want to see anything else but the fight.
Right.
And I kind of like that anticipation because when I saw that picture and just saw them together now, it's kind of like, you know, it's really happening. And we only 2 days away, like I said. But when you look at these two and what they've done in their careers so far, and when you look at Lomachenko, his wins and, you know, his overall talent in the ring, do you think it's enough to really to go up against a guy like Guillermo Rigondeaux, who's proven himself, you know, at lower weights, but he is undefeated. He's never faced a loss.
I mean, like we said earlier, and a lot of people are not really that familiar with Rigondeaux, so mm-hmm. they don't know his skill set. They don't really know what he can do. But me, you know, being a fan of him already, I just, it's not that big of a deal. I don't see Lomachenko as a big step for him. Mm-hmm. I really, it's just another fight.
Yeah.
It's just another fight. You know, it's a little hype behind the fight because he's probably fighting a guy who has more hype than anybody else he's ever faced. You know what I mean? Right. But I don't see it as a tall task as many other people might see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because skills win fight. Skills
win all day. And I mean, when you look at Rigondeaux, he has the skills and he also has the, you know, just the overall mentality to not let anything break him, break his focus.
Right.
And about Lomachenko, the reason I feel like everybody is picking Lomachenko is just because, like you said, they never seen a Rigondeaux fight.
Mm-hmm.
They only hear people talking about him. They never actually seen him fight. They never actually seen him perform.
Right.
So that they just seen Lomachenko and these great skills that look good against the competition he's been going against, the tailor-made guys, you know, the older guys or the slower guys, but they never seen a guy like Rigondeaux, you know, because people been talking about him so much that I was like, dang, I'm second guessing myself, you know. Right. So I had to go back and look at both fighters, you know. When I went back and watched a few of Rigondeaux's fights, Tion Kennedy, and I was like, man, this dude is,
man, he's a truth.
Yeah. And you got to think, you know, everybody he's facing is bigger than him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking at that, it's like, what can Lomachenko bring to the table
that he's never seen?
That he's never seen. I mean, there is some things he's doing that he hasn't seen, but will Lomachenko be able to even try any of that against a guy like Rigo?
Right. To me, the best attribute that Lomachenko may possess is youth.
Yeah.
To me, that's the only benefit, you know. You know, when you're younger, you're a little faster, your reflexes are a little better, all those type of things or whatever. But to me, that's the only really advantage that he may have on his side is youth. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't guarantee anything. That's just saying that, you know, he's a little younger.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And another thing about, you know, Rigondeaux too, Ant, is, like you say, most people never seen him fight. Most people probably never heard of him before this fight, Ant. Lomachenko was the name that's ringing right now.
Lomachenko's name was just brought up really to casual fans because of Bob Arum. And like I said before, like a lot of UFC fans and MMA fighters, you know, they're always bringing the name up now. But when have you ever really heard them mention, you know, Andre Ward or Terrence Crawford? You know?
And I mean, we know where that comes from, the Conor and Floyd Mayweather fight, which brought in a lot of casual fans who, in my opinion, don't really know anything about the sport.
Right.
You know, not all of them, but most of them don't. I mean, when you got guys who fight in the UFC and they're talking about Lomachenko, have you done your history? Have you studied fighters? Have you, you know what I mean? You can't just turn your TV on today and say, oh, this is the best fight out because so-and-so says so. You know?
Or they see that 400-something amateur fights, you know, 400-something odd wins versus with one loss. You know, they see that and they be like, oh, yeah, he's the best fighter since Floyd, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, but then you got a guy like
Rigo, who has the same record.
But even a guy like Joel Casamayor, who had 560 fights.
Yeah.
560 fights, dude.
500 fights.
You know, they didn't give they didn't give Joel those type of props. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because of the fights he had. You got to go in there and earn it and prove it. You know what I mean? But like I said, I really think a lot of people just were ignorant to any Rigondeaux facts. I mean, outside of Nonito Donaire, which was like one of his probably biggest named opponents, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he hasn't really faced guys that a lot of casual fans would know.
Right.
And that makes a difference, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I really think most people just don't know about him, man. Like I said, he doesn't speak English. He's not all over the blogs. He's not talking. He's not doing this. So it's not a lot of information out on him. You can go on YouTube and watch his fights and stuff, but I'm just saying, I mean, Lomachenko's everywhere. He's in his gym, he's with Bob Arum, he's on his talk show, he's here, he's there. You know, Rigondeaux, you didn't see any of that.
You most recently just hearing them on social media, you know, making little comments just to get the
fight.
This
is the most vocal I've ever heard. This is the
most vocal he's ever been, you know.
Posting memes, talking, you know. So. Yeah.
So, another question I have is amateur records. It seems like Lomachenko, his career is kind of built on his amateur status and his Olympic gold medal. You know, he only has 9 wins and he has over 400 amateur fights, 400 wins, almost 500. But it seems like a lot of people are bringing that over to judge what type of fighter he is professionally. Where it seems like for Guillermo Rigondeaux, it seems like, okay, he has the same number of fights, maybe a few more losses in the amateurs, but he's undefeated as a professional fighter with 17 wins. So why do you think he's getting there? A harder time.
Well, in my opinion, that it's a lot of factors. I mean, for one thing, he got the complexion for the connection.
You know? Vasil.
Yeah, Lomachenko. Mm-hmm. I mean, in most people's eyes, he's white.
Yeah.
You know, even though he's European, Russian, or whatever. His, yeah. You know, but he has that going for him.
Right.
Then he speaks English, so he can do interviews. And I mean, just the way they're marketing the guy, and he's, you know, they have him, he's GQ and he's suave. So it's just like a lot of different looks that he's getting that Rigondeaux just really wouldn't get because of, I'm not going to say the way he looks, but just, it's just, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
just cause he's, you know, he is a black Cuban. So that will be, you know, some minus points for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's deductions. Yeah, I mean, it's deductions. He's keeping it 100, you know?
Just to be real. Yeah, it is some.
I mean, when you think about it, Lomachenko is more marketable than maybe a guy like Rigondeaux is. Cause Rigondeaux, even though he can't speak English, I just don't think he's a talkative guy. I think he's just more of a quiet type of person anyway. I mean, he doesn't rub me as a guy who's running to do interviews or who wants to be on all the blogs and doing all of that. You know, I mean, to me, he looks at that as like, that's secondary. The first thing is fighting. You know what I mean? Number one is skills. You know?
Because his old demeanor doesn't bring off like he's a villain or anything. No, people are trying to make him a villain, but they're mad because they can't really make him one because he's not being vocal.
Right.
So once you look at that, and then when you look at Lomachenko, it just seems like the Lomachenko thing, I hate to call it hype, but at the same time, the people are making it a hype, you know? Right. Like Lomachenko probably, like you said, he loves the sport when you watch him train and when he's performing, but at the same time, he probably wants to grow himself, but these other people are already saying you're here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like an AJ thing, you know, you just, the hype is bigger than you. You have to catch up to the hype. You know what I mean? You have to catch up to the hype.
Yeah. And like we said before, sometimes you can't, it's impossible to drown that out.
It's impossible.
Do you think he really does have that size advantage over Regan now?
Well, I know it's a rehydration clause in the fight. I don't know exactly what it is, but I mean, I probably will be a little curious to what he would come in on fight night, Lomachenko, you know, how much he does rehydrate. But to be honest, I don't see it as that much of a fact, especially since there's a clause in there because he can only go so far, you know, because Rigondeaux, he's not going to rehydrate if he's a smaller guy. You know, he's not really going to blow up, you know.
No. Because, when I've looked at his past fights, when he makes 122, he comes in at 122 fight night.
Yeah.
When he comes in 126, he's going to come in at 126,
That's how I'm seeing it. So, I really don't think that it's going to play that much of a part in the fight, the size. I don't, you know. Because the thing about the size too, you have to know how to use the size to your advantage. If Lomachenko doesn't know how to fight like a taller fighter or a fighter with the longer reach, or you know, if he doesn't know how to capitalize on being a bigger guy, then it really doesn't matter. Because you have some guys who are big, they don't know how to capitalize on that. You have a tall guy squatting down to fight
with
a wide
stance, bringing your chin on the level with him.
So we really have to see, you know, what game plan he employs when he, when, you know, comes Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Let's do a little breakdown of the fight, fighter and the fighters. I think this really is going to come down to Rigondeaux's accuracy versus Lomachenko's activity. And I really feel like this is the type of fight where Rigondeaux, he's going to have to control Lomachenko's activity. He's going to have to make him throw when he wants him to and make him find him. You know, he's really going to have to be that type of fighter where he controls that volume and not let Lomachenko dictate the pace from round one. Because I know Lomachenko said that Rigondeaux was a born fighter and he was going to come to put on the show. And when you read those words, it's already given that he does want to put on the show. At the same time, he's going to not take crazy risks. But from round one, you know, he's going to be throwing more punches than Rigondeaux.
You think so? I think so. The first couple of rounds, I think it's a mutual respect there. Mm-hmm. Lomachenko can say what he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those first couple of rounds are going to be a feeling out process too, Ant, because do you think, I think Rigondeaux possesses the power to knock Lomachenko out. I don't think Lomachenko possesses the power to knock Rigondeaux out.
Yeah, I really think that Rigondeaux, his accuracy and just the overall delivery of his punch is a lot more solid than Lomachenko, which goes back to his activity. See, he's a busy fighter, so he's throwing a lot of combinations.
Slappy punches
to set up maybe the next punch that'll rock the guy. Because if you look at a lot of his past fights, it's the accumulation that throws guys off. It's that accumulation that usually rocks them. And it's that last shot that they're so baffled they don't see the next one coming.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at a guy like Rigo, he's really poised. You know, every time he throws one, he's back ready to strike like a snake again. His punching power is pretty devastating for
a small guy.
Yeah.
And then, and think about this. Okay, Lomachenko, he's throwing volumes of punches, but Rigondeaux is not going to be there eating punches. He's giving them angles. He's footwork. It's going to be a lot of different. It's going to be a lot of different looks. And I really don't believe Lomachenko has faced an animal like this yet. You know what I'm saying? He possesses everything that he would need to win this fight. And if he won it, it wouldn't overly surprise me, but I just don't see him doing it. I don't see him putting on a performance where, without a doubt in everybody's mind, he won. Mm-hmm. It could be some controversy. That's something different, but I just don't see it, man.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
It would just have to be like a lot of activity from Lomachenko. Like if he really has the blinding speed, like he's showing against, you know, opposition that's tailor made for him. He's gonna have to show that same type of work rate.
Right.
And Rigondeaux, he's not there to be that type of fighter, you know?
I mean,
and that's what's always made him one of the top pound for pound fighters, you know, Rigondeaux. That's always made him one of the better fighters. That's what separates him from, you know, Walters and, you know, Jason Sosa and all those guys that he's fought, you know. I mean, that's why Lomachenko hadn't taken the fight in the past, I feel like, you know, because he knows that that's a different animal.
It's a different animal, dude. And to me, people say, oh, the hand speed is blinded. Okay, well, he fought Gary Russell, and they saying Gary Russell Jr. got the fastest hands in the game.
Yeah,
he won that fight. Lomachenko won that fight, but I don't know if Gary Russell came in there with the right game plan. But I'm just saying, with the Rigondeaux fight, these small guys, they're fast. It's not a slow, small guy.
And it's something like, you know, shout out to Virgil Hunter. He said, like, this is something I've always thought, is the fact that there's a difference between quickness and speed.
It's definitely a difference.
You know, like, one fighter might be fast with the hands, but this other guy, he might be quick with the mind and quick with that trigger to let off one shot, and you don't even see it coming.
Right.
While you coming in with this blinding speed, boom, you already hit.
And
you
even know? At the fast footwork, it makes footwork, a difference.
He's
in
here,
and out. And you know what I'm saying?
Here.
Exactly.
Right.
That makes a difference.
Because sometimes when you're looking at Lomachenko, he's pivoting here, he's pivoting there. I'm watching him, but I see the next move he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever somebody like Rigo hits you, he's here, and then you don't know his feet are already here, so you trying to counter. Dude's already over here,
gone,
you know,
gone,
he's already gone. It's like a different level of level of skill there. You already see it. But it kind of goes back to the people hyping this one up more than that one. That's why it just makes people more lean towards that, you know, which is still crazy to me. But going back to the power. Yeah, like I said, when I was looking back at some of Rigo's fights, like Tion Kennedy, that left hand is like, it's a devastating hit. Mm-hmm. And factor that in against the guys he's facing. Rigondeaux's already faced bigger guys.
Right.
And one thing I've looked at everybody he's faced, these guys, they weigh in the same night as Rigo, but they all blow up to 130 something. So he's faced 130s before.
Right. It's nothing new.
That's something that people need to realize. He's faced those before. It's so there's no scare in the weight as much as we think, you know. Right. So he's faced guys that big because they come in taller. There's guys that's been taller than Lomachenko. So yeah. It's nothing new for Rigo. I think it's just the more of the breaking out now, the pressure. The pressure of facing somebody that they're going to give the number one spot if you lose, you know.
Right.
I think that's more what he's fighting.
Right. And even you, I don't know if you saw the little statement he had on Instagram, but he's pretty much like, you know, if you're the best, I want to face the best because I want to prove that I'm the best, pretty much. And that's mm-hmm. that's what happens. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't pick and choose and dodge and all this stuff. People claim he the best. I think I'm the best. Let's get in there and see what happens. And I feel like Rigondeaux being the older man and sitting back waiting for the accolades that Lomachenko was getting instantly, I think that's motivation. I think that's motivation. And mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because I've done just as much as this guy. Mm-hmm. More than him, technically.
Yeah.
I mean, he stopped Nonito Donaire when Nonito Donaire was a monster. And then Nonito Donaire was way taller than him, bigger than him. And Rigondeaux went in there and took him to school. Put him in a clinic.
He stopped his whole train, you know.
And that guy was on what? Like a, I don't know how many knockout streak. I mean, he was knocking everybody out. Nonito Donaire at that time.
Yeah, he was considered the next pound for pound.
Next pound for pound. Yeah. You know, so it's just I don't see what he can bring to the table that would be something new that Rigondeaux has not seen or throughout his experience wouldn't be able to adjust to. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see it, Ant. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's an older man. That the older man is a disadvantage and an advantage at the same time because the older man has wisdom.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and when you look at it, he doesn't have as much. He doesn't have wear and tear. You know, he's been really waiting. He's been waiting for moments like this,
sitting around waiting, being patient. And we all know that patience is key.
Patience is a virtue.
And timing is everything too. And it just might just be, you know, he's waiting. The time has arose. Now it's time to handle business.
Yeah.
You know,
because when you look at him too, you can't say. We looked at the age before, but the more and more you look at Rigo and you're starting to see him open up more with training camps, he's not a guy that takes off. He cares about his weight like a Hopkins.
And he's always in shape, dude.
So this might be the fight that proves he's an alien too. You know, he might prove it too because his body's always in great shape like a Hopkins and he takes it seriously. He's always fit. And I'm sure, you know, his eating habits is good because you just don't look like that, you know, without
eating junk food and blowing up in between fights and all that.
Yeah. So he's a guy that really cares about his fitness and his, you know, which weight is a part of boxing, you know, keeping your weight for your frame. And I just feel like coming in that fight night, he's not going to be old more and more. I look at it, man.
And, you know, another thing too, man. Like we were talking about a little bit earlier, just how, you know, Lomachenko is like on another trajectory than Rigondeaux. And think, look at the big picture, Ant. Look at the big picture when we think about the world and how the world looks at things. When you look at Rigondeaux, he's a dark skinned man, mouth full of gold teeth. He looks a certain way.
He just never smiles.
Lomachenko looks another way. He looks like you say. So of course they're going to try to capitalize on that and make Rigondeaux the bad guy, because some people will perceive him as looking like a bad guy. He's dark skinned, he's got to go that, and I'm just saying the world, and You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way the world
The world is programmed.
It's programmed.
And nobody wants to admit it. Like, an individual won't admit it, but everybody has seen it.
That's why I want to bring this point up. If, you know, you had Rick and Dial picture next to Lomachenko picture, and they say, who committed this crime? I mean, it's a given. Mm-hmm. It's a given. And that's like another factor of the game that comes into play. I mean, everything matters. Your looks, your charisma, you know, it does matter. And I mean, it matters as far as marketability. That don't mean make you win fights.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I even see that with this fight. You know, Ringing that, like you said, they're trying to make him the bad guy because he doesn't talk much and he has this look. But he looks like all my people. So I don't look at him as a bad guy.
Yeah, we don't look at him.
Yeah, when I see him, he looks like a peer to me. You know, even though he's Cuban, but he looks like a brother. Yeah, you know like what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he's
got a mouthful of gold teeth.
That's what I'm used to. But, you know, to the casual fans, to maybe white America, they will perceive him in a certain way. That's just a fact. Yeah. I don't care what they say. They will perceive him in a certain way. He looks like somebody who was in prison or was a criminal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's how they do.
Well, I mean, there's been many examples in the past. I mean, even when it comes to your Mexican fighters, your Oscar De La Hoya, your Canelo, Oscar, he speaks English well, but he still is a little lighter complexion than a Marco Barrera.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really have those facial features of a Barrera or a Morales.
Of a real Mexican,
He's a little bit more safer to put on this pedestal. Absolutely. And, you know, build him up. Same with Canelo. Come on, Canelo's pale, redhead.
Yeah, like I told you.
You know?
Canelo needs to learn English and he could be Richie Cunningham. It's no doubt about it. He could be the biggest star in boxing if he learned fluent. Because you wouldn't even think he was Mexican.
I mean, this dude could be
in the movie playing a white role, Ant.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
He could reach those levels because the way he looks matter in the fight game as far as marketing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But he actually could be a Richie Cunningham, man. He's got red-headed Mexican.
Yeah. With either any level of other races, they try to look for the one that looks the safest, you know, because that's just how it's been programmed. I mean, nobody, like I said, nobody's going to admit it, and we ain't calling everybody out as being a racist. Yeah, exactly. But
we just making
it's
a point.
It's just a serious point.
We're just making a point.
Going back to Rigo, he sees that, and he's seeing all that stuff that Lomachenko is getting, all that other hype and praise. So this is his moment now to really shine, to say, I'm in there with that guy. So I got to show them that this is mine. You ain't got to like me after, but you can respect me after that.
Are they going to respect him? If he washes his ass, they're going to respect him.
They got to respect me. Ain't going to like him, like I said, but, you know.
Exactly. But, you know, and I just bring that point up just to say that everything kind of matters, you know, and that could be the reason why he's being made out to be the villain, or, you know, because they always want a good guy and a bad guy. You know, that's helps a fight sell.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, of course, Regan Diaz was going to get the bad guy charged because of how he looks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've never seen any of those actions to prove that. Mm-hmm. But off looks, people judge books by covers all day long.
Yeah, they're just going to go ahead and automatically want him to be it. What really does Lomachenko have to do? Like I was saying, what Rigo has to do for this fight. What do you think Lomachenko has to do?
I mean, that's a good question. And to be honest, I never really even thought that far because I'm not saying he can't win and he won't win, but... I mean, just in my personal mind, it's just, I don't know. I really haven't thought about it that far, man. What do you think?
I guess because, like, I've been, you know, once you watch so many videos of him and, you know, looking at both of them and how so many people are praising him and on his side, it almost wants to second guess yourself. But I still go with my mind. What my mind says.
Well, hold up, man. What makes you second guess it, though? What makes you want to second guess it? For after watching video, because you're watching what these guys can do. What are you seeing that make you sway a little bit? Because I'm not seeing it.
Okay, the thing that just a little bit now, not like my whole demeanor, but like just some of the things he's doing in there makes me want to think he can give Rigo his first loss. And like I said, that can make it that's what's making this a 50-50 fight. And like Rigo said that I'm fighting the best. So he sees something in him too. he sees something in him too. So those factors are just, you know, Rigo wanting to take the fight and just seeing Lomachenko's style, it can make for a hard night for him.
We can agree to this could be a kind of difficult fight for Rig and DI. We can agree on that. I'm not saying it's going to be, but it possibly could be. I mean, the guy Lomachenko can fight, but we talk about levels right here.
Yeah.
You know, it's levels to this.
Yeah.
And I equate it to Canelo and Floyd Mayweather. Canelo was bigger. People thought that he was doing, he's punching power. He's doing, what happened, man?
Mm-hmm.
What happened come fight night? He was the younger man. Everything, the bigger man, the stronger man, on paper, these things people were saying. What happened fight night, man?
Everything was off.
What happened fight night, dude?
He was taking the school. He was taking the straight school.
That's the same way I feel with this. I don't see a bit of difference.
Okay. This kind of leads me to those outcomes that I was saying like last week. I think if Lomachenko is as good as he says he is, or if he's as gifted as he says he is, I feel like this could go in his favor, kind of like a Roy Jones, James Toney type fight. You know what I mean? Where both guys are highly skilled, but the other guy's going to try to
impose his will,
use something that the other guy doesn't necessarily have, like the speed, like the overall, that shoot, you know, the quick flashy hands, but never really get a chance to hurt him, and just kind of take advantage of Rigo if he's slower that night. Because if you go back to that fight, Roy Jones, he just kind of outpointed James Toney.
Mm-hmm.
James Toney, you know, he's not a fast guy on his feet.
No.
You know, he's going to wait for you to come in, and Roy's not going to fall for that.
Right.
You know, so he's going to kind of play with him a little bit, you know, catch him off guard, use those quick, you know, the fast hands and catch him and just kind of win over, you know, make it look good, make it look convincing. Now, that's if Lomachenko has that.
That's what that's it.
Yeah, if he has that.
Because to me, Ant, Roy, in my eyes, was always a little level up over James Toney. James Toney, no, can't take nothing from him. He's an awesome fighter, mm-hmm. but Roy always was, had something more than James Toney had in my eyes. So it's like, Lomachenko may have the youth. People want to say the speed. I don't see a whole lot of difference in the speed. Riggin D.I. was fast. You know what I mean? He has youth on his side, so it may be a little, what's the name? But does he have the IQ? I don't know. We don't know if Riggin D.I. has mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm.
He might say, man, I'm doing this for my kids.
Right.
I don't know what motivation is really pushing Lomachenko besides he's getting pressure and people are telling him he's the best and he has to eventually face that. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. you can only run from it for so long and eventually you got to face the music, you know?
Yeah.
Some people would say he dodged it as long as he could. Mm-hmm. It's no more dodging.
Yeah.
We know for a fact Rigondeaux didn't duck him.
He's the one that said, let's do this.
We know for
constantly.
A fact.
We know for a fact, man.
You know, I mean, that's the thing about boxing, man. Anything mm-hmm. can happen, but I just...
And that's it's just like if you're a hardcore fan, it can almost be like being like a boxer. Like, I was telling you earlier, like when I was watching some of Lomachenko videos, sometimes it can kind of sway you a little bit because you're seeing something this guy is doing. It can play with your mental a little bit. You know, like nothing is ever 100%, you know?
Especially, and for me, like when I hear pundits saying things and it makes me think, you know, Teddy Atlas, so Lomachenko was this. And I'm like, damn, Teddy, he's been in the game 30 years. What does he see that I don't see? You know, my untrained eye doesn't see for him to say this. I don't see any, like, alliances there, you know, top rank or bar. I don't see any connections there. So what does this guy say? But I've seen Teddy say some other crazy shit too. You know what I'm saying? So
I have to. I'm glad you brought that up because that's what I was kind of like losing track of when I was thinking of a training video, because it was like I seen, you know, some people that sparred with Rigondeaux, but they actually favor Lomachenko to beat him. So I'm like, I'm listening to these guys who spar and I'm kind of like, well, what makes them see Lomachenko win over a guy like Rigondeaux, you know?
Right.
So it kind of makes you say, are they seeing some things that we not seeing? But I still got to go with Rigo just off of what he's done, not in sparring, but off of what he's done and what we've seen him do professionally.
No hype, man. We ain't going off no hype. We're going off facts.
We got to go off of facts.
With him. You know, Lomachenko, and that's the thing about him. If he's got the goods, and we're going to rock with him. But it still remains to be seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he goes ahead Saturday night and puts on a hell of a performance, okay, well, we got to take my hat off to him. But at this point, it remains to be seen. I mean, Rigondeaux, in my eyes, has proven more than Lomachenko, in my eyes. You know, in my eyes. You know, being a guy 37 still being able to hang around. Will Lomachenko, do we know he'll be around to 37 then?
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that this guy's around at 37, he's in shape, he's still undefeated at 37, I mean,
physically still looks as good as Lomachenko.
Still
rocking and knocking guys out.
I mean, what they say, the rumor knocked out 5 sparring partners in the day, eh? I don't know how true that is, but Rigondeaux, 5 sparring partners in the day.
Hey, I believe it. I mean, when you look at them past fights, a lot of people like to say, okay, he's being born, but then when that one shot hit, you weren't even looking.
Exactly.
You know? And that's what we want to see. We want to see the setup, the sweet science behind these punches.
And I think, like we say, that's going to make it. I just think that the older, smarter man, I'm saying he's smarter because he has wisdom on his side. Mm-hmm. He's going to be able to, me, give Lomachenko more looks that he's never seen than Lomachenko will be able to give him more looks than he's never seen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that he's been around longer. He's been in there with more guys. He's been sparring with people. He's been helping guys get ready for fights over the years. He's been around longer. The experience, we can't measure experience. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because, again, going back to that, the whole wisdom thing, I mean, an older guy, fit and with the wisdom, how can you not?
Hey, look, another perfect example, back to Floyd Mayweather Canelo. Pretty much the same record.
Yeah.
Canelo, he's fought just as many guys or maybe more guys than Floyd Mayweather. But when they got in the ring, you seen the difference.
And that was my second way of the fight kind of going, you know, Rigo just taking him to school, a la Mayweather Canelo, just one step ahead of him all the time, making him think he's here when he's not, and just taking him to school and not really giving him not giving him any room to breathe or take advantage of any rounds, you know?
And then, too, you know, Rigondeaux, all he's hearing is he's going to lose. That's motivating to him, man.
Yeah.
That's motivating. Lomachenko, he's hearing all this hype. Like we say, are you falling into the hype? Are you believing this? Are you saying, hey, man, I got this already? We don't know. We know Lomachenko. I mean, Rigondeaux ain't thinking that because he ain't getting no props. Nobody wants to give him a chance.
Yeah.
So he's like, man, he's in the gym sharpening. His blades are sharp right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And all day, and it's in his mind. Like he's giving Lomachenko props all day, but you know he's saying, I ain't gonna let somebody with nine wins and one loss beat me. You know.
And another thing about that too, and like he said, I want to fight the best. I don't know how much of Rigondeaux in his mind he thinks this dude is the best. He's saying that's what y'all saying.
Yeah.
That's what y'all saying. That's what you're saying.
So he's just like, okay, I'm reiterating what y'all are saying.
He's the best, right? You guys say he's the best, right? So come Saturday night.
He's the best guy, and I'm getting in the ring with
him. Come Saturday night, when it's over, I don't want to hear no excuses.
Right.
So I don't know if that's 100% how he feels. You know, he might just be going along with the dialogue because he's not a trash talker. He's not a big talker. He said, hey, man, this is what the sport is about. The best fighting the best. Mm-hmm. If you call it, you're saying you're the best.
Yeah, you're campaigning him as the best fighter right now. But.
And he's riding that wave, man. He's not like, you know, Anthony Joshua. He'll tell you, hey, man, well, you know, I need work. I'm still, you know. But Lomachenko's riding the wave like, hey, you guys are right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at somebody, AJ, you won the belts already. You'd be like, hey, I'm the best heavyweight in the world, you know?
Right.
You'd be like, okay, Wilder's the best, you know, let's do the best thing, you know? Best versus best, same like Lomachenko and Rigo were doing. Because, Rigo knows deep down, you know, he knows deep down.
He knows that. He knows, man. He knows. And he know what he up against, and he knows what he has to do. You know what I mean? He know this ain't it. This is a tall, tall task. You know what I mean? Yeah. For a lot of reasons, not just the skills, but the judges. He knows that this guy's the A side. I'm the B side. This guy's the A side. I'm the C side. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I don't put on an A++ performance, it may not go my way.
Yeah, because once you look back to the Mayweather Canelo fight, I don't know how one of the I don't know how they had that majority decision.
You know how they
that's
had
why I'm
it.
Like
you know
yeah that's
who was the LA Bird who was it, you it know what I'm saying? I mean come on man
so when you look at that like so it if Rigo puts on a performance like that would they still give it to Lomachenko like that's the scary thing
we,
like,
we know
can
that
he let it go to the judge
element of that you know what Floyd when they yeah. read that first when they, score Floyd face like huh what did that what
even the De La Hoya fight a split decision. That's why I'm like, can he afford to put on a performance like Mayweather and still think he can win? Because, you know, Mayweather, at least, he know they might mess with him a little bit, but he know he still had the skills and he could still talk.
I mean,
you know, he could still had the guns to fire back at him.
And he's a cash cow. A lot of people eating off of him. You know, he's a mega star. Canelo was a star before he was a mega star. Regan Diaz was barely a star.
Yeah. Like, so that's why I'm just... That's one of the things that makes you nervous. Like, he could put on the same damn clinic, and then after that, they just say, oh, give it to Lomachenko.
But the one thing, real boxing fans know that we've seen fighters lose a fight, but they really won it.
Many a time. Huh?
Many a time. So, if something like that does happen, you know, I mean... On paper, he gets the win, but we know what time it is. Yeah, we know what time it is. And so will he. You know, we've seen it before. Yeah. We've seen guys take a loss and like, yo, I'm good. I know what I did.
Yeah, definitely, man.
You know what I'm saying?
And if that happens, yeah, like you said, we'll know. But it would just be another dirty thing in boxing.
Another dirty thing. You know, and... we have to realize that's a part of boxing, man. It's politics to it, you know. People want certain people to win because they stand to make money if this person wins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, not just gambling, but this guy moves up and moves on, and so do you. You know what I'm saying? If you're his trainer, if you're whatever, you know, it may be. But you move up when this guy moves up. So,
overall, man, this is just one of them fights. Get the butterflies in your stomach.
It did,
and
man.
I think that's what it is. Like, you know, I know there's so many factors that Rigo had, so many skills that he has that can beat him. But it's just that whole buildup makes you start. It makes you understand that this is a big fight. But you know, against two of the best in these lower weights, because you're kind of like, oh man, he's gonna win. He's gonna win this way, and like it's 50-50. That's what makes it exciting for me, you know.
And one other thing too, Ant, that kind of concerns me a little bit is if, you know, hypothetically speaking, if Lomachenko pulls it off, you know, will Rigo gets the credit he deserves? You know, I mean, if he loses this one fight, it doesn't overshadow his previous career. And I think that, you know, something like that could happen if he lost this fight. You know what I mean? He could just get forgotten about.
Well, let's put it this way. Here's how I feel. Another loss for Lomachenko wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt as much as it would hurt Rigo at this point.
For sure.
You know, a loss on Rigo's record, you know, Saturday night is going to hurt him worse than Lomachenko.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Like I said, he could very well be. People barely know him now, man. So if he's got this first big fight to casual fans in their eyes, this is his first big fight. If he loses, he could very well be forgotten. But for the real boxing fans, we know that one loss doesn't determine your career.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If he loses this fight, I'm not going to say, man, Rigo was a bum, man. He was a great fighter.
That took the risk by moving up and, moving up, 8 pounds heavier. Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. So I just want to reiterate that, you know, if he loses this fight, he shouldn't be shunned or looked down on or forgotten about. He still should be looked at as one of the better guys or top guys at a smaller weight. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? In the history books.
Well, that's the thing, like, being, I would say, I guess being undefeated nowadays, it's kind of taking on a different entity versus before. Like, I mean, before you could have you've seen as this untouchable guy, but even in the loss, you were still seen as a warrior. You were still seen as a guy, depending on how you lost and how you fought. Mm-hmm. Now, and because I'm thinking of the, you know, thinking of the best. I'm thinking of the best fighters from them eras, you know, before. But like those guys, they could have a loss. Thomas Hearns, he always comes to mind, but you still think of him as a great fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't like just shun him off in the obscurity or in somewhere. You know, you still looked at him like, when's he coming back? I know he's still going to beat the next guy, you know, where I know he could beat this guy in a rematch or something, you know. But like nowadays, it just seems like people are ready to, you know, just knock this guy down when he loses. Like it's over for him.
And I think it's a little bit with the times we live in. And it's like the news. The story is hot for a week. Mm-hmm. You could have did the worst thing and we talk about it for a week. Next week, it's on to the new topic. You mm-hmm. forgot about that one. Next week, it's, you know, mm-hmm. everything is so fast and instant now that nothing really hangs around anymore. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
The attention span on one thing is so short.
So short.
You jump from the next hot thing to the next hot thing.
And that's what I'm saying.
Where before you had your time invested in somebody that's really appreciating the craft and putting in the work. You know, you follow that person's career.
You want to see this guy come back.
Yeah.
You want to see him work his way back up the ladder. You know, now it's you fell on the ladder, you did it. Who cares? We on mm-hmm. to the next hot thing. You know, everything is the hot thing, the hype train right now.
Right.
You know.
Which off topic, I just feel like in these times, like somebody like Terrence Crawford, I feel like he'd be appreciated more maybe in the '80s, you
for
know.
For sure.
Maybe in the '80s for
sure. You know, we always call him a throwback fighter,
and yeah.
we'd call him a throwback fighter. Riggin Diaw would have been more appreciated in the '80s. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Somebody like Lomachenko. It still remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. It still remains to be seen because he hasn't really hit that cusp of greatness or not even greatness, dude.
He hasn't even hit like worthy champion.
Yeah, that arc of, okay, damn, this guy's something else. We still waiting to see mm-hmm. it. We still waiting to see it. The real boxing fans are waiting to see it, you know?
Because, I mean, you have people saying Errol Spence is untested. Well, I feel like Lomachenko is still not worthy of being there.
If Errol Spence is untested, Lomachenko is definitely untested. And I get kind of where people, you know, may have take those assessments from. I mean, to be honest, Ant, this next fight, a little off topic with Errol Spence and Peterson. This is going to be very interesting.
It is.
And this is going to be very interesting because we haven't really, I mean, on paper, Peterson is the better boxer. It still remains to be seen how Errol Spence will deal with a guy who can move and throw angles like that. But once again, it depends on the game plan that Peterson comes with. I mean, I've seen him fight in the pocket where he don't need to be fighting
where he
in the
don't
pocket.
Need to be,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it depends on what game plan. But if he comes with the Danny Garcia game plan, I don't know what's going to happen at this fight. We haven't seen Errol Spence like face the animal. Like we've seen Peterson fight punches. We've seen him fight Matisse. I mean, he took losses and stuff, but we've seen him,
He's been in them trenches before. Yeah.
A lot of things, a lot of things matter, man. A lot of things matter.
So, it's just something you have to be honest about. Like we say that about Spence, Lomachenko, it's the same deal.
Same deal here.
Yeah. I mean, you facing somebody bigger than a Peterson right now, though. Yeah. You know, you facing somebody bigger, which we feel might hand you your next loss. Because of the people behind you hyping you up to this fight.
Right.
So this is that fight that I feel in my eyes and your eyes and the hardcore fans' eyes, whether Rigo win or lose, it's going to be a fight that you still got to praise him for taking. Mm-hmm. And you got to appreciate a guy like that, you know, which sadly, since he's pushing 38 and then, you know, his career might be over, I don't think people are ever going to really appreciate him like that.
And they probably won't, Ant, but that's why we got our platform and there's other platforms out there for these guys to get recognized. Because, I mean, you got some stuff that's just a hype train, just the TMZs of the boxing blogs. We not with that. We want these guys to be able to come to a place and see that they are appreciated. At the end of the day, we fans, Ant.
Yeah.
We love what they do. We take our hats off to them for getting into the ring. Whether you're a bum, tomato can, whatever. We still got to take it because it takes balls to do that. So, I mean, we just want to really praise these guys, you know. So, we'll see. But what's your prediction, man?
My prediction, like, I had those two outcomes the way the fight I feel would go, like I told you. But if I have to go with a prediction, I'd have to go with, I feel like Rigo could stop him in the late rounds.
Oh, don't say that, man. Damn.
I feel like Rigo could stop him.
We too much on the same page, man. Because I thought I was going to freak you out when I said that.
No.
I see.
There's something playing middle, out in my mind, yeah.
Middle to late round stoppage for Rick and D out. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. Because, number one, his accuracy is just insane, man. It's
that
just,
makes a difference.
He's a surgeon, man.
If every time you throw, you land, that makes a difference.
He only throws when he knows he's going to hit you.
He knows he's going to hit.
Yeah.
Even it's no wasted energy.
Yeah, it's no wasted energy. Even if he hits your arms, he's hitting with bad intentions. And when he touches that chin, you're going to feel it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're either going down or you rocked. And number three, Lomachenko ain't never been hit like that before.
Right.
Walters, he didn't do a damn thing, so I ain't counting you. But,
and we know Gary Russell don't really have that type of pop.
No, he got fast hands. He has fast hands,
but he don't really have that pop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me.
And again, that was speed versus quickness.
But Lomachenko, I can see his body being game, and I can see that head being game, that chin being game. And come Saturday night, I hope Rigondi out tests both of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hope he tests both, man. I late round stoppage, because like I said, I just see something playing out where those angles, man, from both of those guys, one of them might make that simple mistake, and I'm leaning toward Lomachenko. He might make that one mistake, and he's just going to step into something big that he ain't ever felt. Because I really think that the type of puncher that Rigo is, he's an accurate puncher, but at the same time, he got heavy hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the type of power that carries up in weight. Like, you've seen guys in the past with power at a lower weight, certain weights, where they don't have it when they move up. Like, Cotto, he had, like, heavy hands. At 140, he was knocking guys out. Mm-hmm. When he got up to 154, he was more of a beat-em-up guy.
Right.
But Rigo is it comes down to his accuracy.
And like, we know it. A knockout isn't about really the power. It's about
accuracy.
It's about accuracy.
It's the accuracy.
It's about the punch. So, I mean, you know, with that being said.
The late round stoppage.
I was going to say middle to late round stoppage, but I didn't think he was going to say stoppage at all. So I'm going to mess his head up and say stoppage. But that's how I feel, man.
That's how I feel.
Because think about this, and like you say, it's two high level boxers. Skill for skill, I think Rigo is a little level up, but not a whole lot. But who's more susceptible to making a mistake, a young person or an old person?
The young guy.
Thank you.
The young guy.
The wisdom, the old guy has wisdom. He knows. Mm-hmm. He knows things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows different things that the young guy don't know. Yeah.
And he also knows the other thing. He also knows that he knows that he's going to think he's going to make that mistake. You know what I mean?
But that's part of knowing.
That's part of that wisdom.
This guy, I know what this guy thinks that I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Yeah.
I ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
That's something that an old man thinks. Right. The young guy's going to come and swing hard. I know what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. You kind of know what the young guy's going to do because you can read it in him. But the old guys, you know, he has experience. You know, it's different.
It's different. It's all different, man. So, dude, man, yeah, more and more, like I said, we keep talking about this, man. I just got to see it now, man.
And like I say, every weekend, you know, we could talk about this for 4 days, y'all, but you know, we don't have that type of time. And Saturday night is really all that's gonna matter. We can talk till we blue in the face, but Saturday night is when it's going down, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And the best part of this is free TV, man.
That's free TV.
ESPN, I think, starts at 9 p.m. The card, right? Main event's 10 on ESPN. You can't beat that, man.
And it's a decent card.
Brian
Jennings is on there. I've been waiting to see him again. We got Shakur Stevenson.
You know,
I've been, you know, following him. So, I mean, for a free card and then the main event, with two guys. I mean, I can't ask for much more.
Ask for that. So
it's a Christmas gift.
Yeah, especially for hardcore fans. This is an early gift for us. Man, so come
on. After we've been blessed all year round, and then in December
and we to get cap the year off like this.
Come on, man,
dude. But you heard about Friday too, right? You heard about the fights Friday on Fox Sports One. Chad Dawson, unfortunately, he had an injury. He had to pull out of his fight.
Yeah.
John Pascal, he's fighting. I can't remember who he's fighting.
So Dawson pulled out that fight.
Yeah. And guess who's stepping in on a separate fight?
What weight class?
Heavyweight.
Hmm.
Victor Ortiz.
What?
Yeah, man.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Oh! Yeah.
Louis Ortiz.
You did.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
Victor?
We thought Victor, you was like this.
I'm trying to visualize it. I seen that. Now, how in the hell you couldn't fight 2 months ago because you was dirty? Now you clean. I mean.
The thing is, look, they say he paid the $25,000 fine for not being upfront, not stating that he was taking, you know, these substances for his high blood, and then saying he wasn't taking the substances for performance. That they just pushed it out, man. Just paid the $25,000, and WBC's going to reinstate him. And now he's back on the trail. So now that he's reinstated by the WBC for sure, he's trying to get a fight with Wilder next year.
All right. But you know what, I seen that. Fly. I seen him on flies and stuff. I ain't even interested no more, dude. You done pissed dirty twice. I ain't even really interested. I don't care what he do. I'm not bashing him, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like I said, he can keep doing what he do. I mean, he keep doing what he do, but as a person that was respectful of the game and respecting him on his come up at his age, I was respecting, you know, I was pushing for him all last year. Like, come on, get him, you know, he was off Golden Boy. He was off Rock Nation. Get him some fights, you know. You know, and that's the road he was on. Then the Wilder fight was getting made. Then you going to do this?
Yeah. So, like, my interest in him kind of went out the window. I seen the flies. I didn't even really even think twice about it. But, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
But, shoot, man. I mean, that's pretty much all we have this year, right? Yeah. That's going to be it. I think there's some more fights. There's some more fights, but not really nothing as big as Rigo Lomo. So
yeah,
Lomo.
I mean, nothing even really coming close to it. And I mean, that's the ninth, and then we got what, 2-3 more weeks in the year. I don't think there's nothing coming up in those last 2 or 3 weeks that's even come close to this.
Off topic, the UFC. There's a former boxer, Holly Holm. She's fighting Cyborg.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. Too. That's probably.
You know, and off topic too, and I don't know if you saw it. And mind you, we cover boxing, but you know, we like combat sports.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do watch some MMA or whatever, but dude, the uppercut last week that landed on Alistair Overeem. Did you see it?
I saw it, man.
But you know, it was a la Anthony Joshua and Klitschko.
Yeah.
I ain't seen no uppercuts like that in my life.
I haven't seen no uppercuts like that in MMA. You know,
it was crazy. It was so accurate, right on the button, and he was knocked out from the uppercut. He was stiff before he hit the ground. Then he finished it up with, you know, one more hammer fist, and it was just wow. That was impressive. But that was a beautiful uppercut right on the chin. It was a beautiful uppercut.
And the crazy thing is too, like, it was one of them things like. In the stare down, he was like, "I'm putting you to sleep." He did it too, man.
I had watched something the day before. They was on Sports Science or something, and this guy registered as like the hardest hitting fighter out. Period. Like they did the machine or whatever, and it was whatever, however they measure it, but it was a big number.
I wouldn't be surprised, man. That dude, like, he just don't look like mass. You know, he looked like he got some. You know, he's packing intentions on them punches.
But I did see that.
Sure. Oh yeah. But yeah, y'all, we really looking forward to this Saturday. You know, all your hardcore fans and, you know, casual fans, check the fight out too. You know, this will be the first time y'all really seen Rigo fight, so you know, definitely check it out. But yeah, that's all we got for this evening. Like I said, make sure y'all check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Hashtag Jab Podcast, and you know, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and. Yeah, you know, just visit the
YouTube channel, Jab Effect, jabeffect.com.
I just wanted to say, you know, shout out to everybody that's supporting us.
Always.
And feel free to engage with us, y'all. Leave comments, suggestions, questions. I mean, this is what we do, y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if there's anything y'all want to know about boxing, you know, feel
stuff
free
y'all
to
want
ask
us to cover.
Question. Yeah, stuff you want us to cover, you know, just feel free to tell us, you know, on our Facebook page or Instagram.
Yeah, various ways you guys can get in touch with us, but we do encourage people to engage because we're looking to engage with the listeners, the fans, boxing fans, period. So I just want them to know that, and that, you know, we're very open to that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we look for that.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're on iTunes or Google Play, after you listen, give us a listen. You know, give us a review. Because, you know, giving us a review, that'll let us know where we stand. But again, my name is Anthony. I'm with my partner P.
Yep.
And we about to sign off. Peace.
Peace.